Things in Jesus' name this morning. Good to be back again. We had a good trip, enjoyed our time back in Pennsylvania with family and friends. It was good to reconnect and also see old home territory again. It's good to be back again as well. For our message this morning, I'd like to continue on with my little series of whatsoever things that we were to think on in Philippians 4 that I started a while ago. And we previously looked at whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure. And this morning I'd like to look at the last two, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. But first of all, I'd like to think a little about boundaries. A boundary is a limit that is set or a line that separates one thing from another. And there are property boundaries that separate your property from your neighbor's property. There are boundaries set in games that determine if a ball is in play or out of play. We set boundaries for our children. You may ride your bike on the driveway, but not on the road. It's a line that's set. There are boundaries we make with people and relationships. Boundaries create freedom. It may sound odd, but that's the truth. You think about boundaries as you're driving down the road. There's a boundary line, the white line and the yellow line. And if you cross that boundary, you will either end up in the ditch or you will hit another vehicle. But if you stay within the boundaries, you have freedom to drive, freedom to arrive safely, freedom to get where you want to go. Our minds and our thought life, we need boundaries there as well. In our culture today, it's easy for our minds to wander aimlessly, to go many different places, even when we're supposed to focus on a particular subject or project, our minds can wander. And in today's world, there's many distractions that can get our mind off course. It can be very difficult to have our minds set on things above, not on things on the earth. Yet despite this difficulty, God is calling us as Christians to be diligent, to have a guarded mind, to have boundaries around our mind. Romans 8:6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see a boundary there. There's a line. And where we find ourselves on that line determines where we will end up. And it all begins within our mind. If you're not there already, turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, I'll begin reading at verse 7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep or guard or create a boundary for your mind. I'm going to draw a little illustration here. Not sure, not a very good drawing of your brain, but picture that as your brain. And Jesus is filling your mind. And you fill your things with these things in this verse. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are So help me out.
Just.
What else?
Humor.
Record. Also list the virtue and praise. God wants us to have those in our mind. And the peace of God is the boundary around our mind. Jesus is our guard. He's helping us to, he's a border guard of our mind, helping us to guard it. We can't live these verses on our own strength. We need the power of Christ in us. There are many things that come at us. Lies. They come at us. What does Jesus help us do? He helps us divert them. Fear. Lust. Complaining. Anger. Negative thoughts, discouragement, many more that come at us in life. And Jesus is our guard. He can help us to divert those things away from our mind and not to come into our mind. If Jesus is not there, these things come in to our mind, and the true, the honest, the just, they will go out. And those things that come in will come out of our life. Think about fear that can rule our mind and our life if we don't have Jesus in there to help divert that. If we have anger come into our mind, that will come out of our life if we don't have Jesus there to divert it. Think about that as a boundary, the peace of God being a boundary. Do I have the peace of God in my heart, in my mind? If these things are outworking fear, anger, lies, lust, if that's outworking in our life, then we need to take a serious look at if the peace of God is within my heart, within my mind. I must live a continual life of surrender, dependency upon God's strength and resource. I cannot do it on my own. Okay, now I'd like to look at whatsoever things are lovely. What does lovely mean? The Greek word for lovely is prosphelis. Not sure if I'm saying that right. It's made up of two Greek words and has the idea of that which draws your mind, that which draws you towards love. That which draws you towards love, towards God's love. Think upon that which is lovely is to think upon that which pushes our heart, pushes our mind toward God's love, God's nature. I'm to think upon what the Bible says is pleasing, attractive. My mind is to be saturated with his heart, with God's character, with his nature. Whatever I allow into my mind should caused me to want to love him more, to love him at a deeper level. She caused me to search him, find him more precious. What comes to your mind when you think of something lovely? When I thought of this, my mind went to nature. I enjoy nature, enjoy the trees, mountains, lakes, birds, wildlife, stars, sunsets, rainbows. It's all created by God and it's lovely, and it draws my mind towards God. And I believe that's part of thinking on what is lovely, enjoying God's creation. People are lovely. And you may question me on this. All people? I mean, all people are lovely. Well, after God created man in Genesis 1:31, he says, "And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God was pleased with his creation, including man, and he called it lovely. But since the fall, not all people act in lovely ways. But there is still a divine blueprint underneath, waiting to be restored. And I believe every person has the potential for goodness, for value, and all are capable of being loved and of becoming someone lovely. Even when they rub us the wrong way or get under our skin, God wants us to be lovely to others that he has placed in our life, and he wants us to think lovely thoughts about them. There are some people that are extra special to us. I think my wife, my family is lovely. They're a real gift and that I treasure much. And there are special people to you that God has put in your life that you think about often. When you think about them, you probably have lovely thoughts about them. You value, you respect them. They lift you up and encourage you. They make you think of God. Just a challenge. When people think of you, do they have lovely thoughts to think on? It's a challenge to me. So I thought about that. Also, God is lovely. Scripture is full of verses that reveal the loveliness of God in his character, his actions, his presence. God is the source of all that is lovely. Turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. God's presence is beautiful. It's lovely. It's something to gaze upon with reverence. Psalm 145. Verse 8, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God's kindness and mercy is lovely to think upon. It's lovely to experience. 1 John 4. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The self-giving love of God through Jesus is the highest form of loveliness shown to us, and it should motivate us to love, to point others to his love. Many other verses, Lamentations 3, 22 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. God's mercies are lovely. They never run out. Psalm 16:11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thinking on God's loveliness should cause us to worship and draw closer to him. Now, even though that God is lovely, he does allow unlovely experiences in our lives sometimes. And much of what we experience that is unlovely is the ripple effect of living in a broken, living in a sinful, sin-cursed world. But even in unlovely circumstances, God never wastes pain. God uses pain to shape us, to purify us, to deepen our character, to draw us closer to him, to think about Jesus. He's the most lovely person there ever was, but he experienced the most unloveliness that there ever was, dying on the cross at the hands of sinful men. What he went through on the cross for our redemption. And when we suffer, we don't suffer alone. God is there with us. God is working to restore all that is broken. And in the end, he will make all things new. He will make all things lovely again. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. What is he making beautiful in your time? It's a challenge to me to think about that. Right now, I'd like to look at whatsoever things are of good report. What does it mean to be of good report? Strong's, the Greek, says that which is well spoken of, that which is reputable, highly regarded, thought well of, held in esteem. Other definitions that I found were containing things that are fit for God to hear, thinking that searches for the good rather than the bad. Paul is saying that we are to think only upon the things that are fit for God to hear. The words on our lips, the thoughts in our mind, is it fit for God to hear? He does hear. Is it acceptable to him? Also, I think our thoughts toward others is a constant challenge to be of good report. How do we think about others? Are we searching out the good in others over the bad? Or is it easy for me to have a hypercritical spirit, negative spirit towards others, towards those around me? Think on things that are of good report. This doesn't mean we ignore issues that need to be repented of or changed, but I do think we need to put forth extra effort in thinking thoughts that are of good report more than fault finding, especially towards those maybe we have a hard time getting along with. Turn to Daniel 6. Daniel 6, it's a familiar story, but I'd like to pick out the first five verses. Verse 1, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Why didn't these men just stop and be thankful for Daniel that there was no fault? There was no, that he was faithful, but they were persistent in finding something to put him down. How are we? Do we consistently try to find fault with others, or can we find the good? It's a challenge to me. Another area that I think of when I think of a good report, one of the definitions of good report was that which is held high, that which is held in esteem. And I think we need to hold our godly heritage in high esteem. It is something that I think should be highly regarded, highly valued. And we shouldn't be ashamed of what our parents, what our grandparents have, what they have, the decisions that they have made, and courageously stepping out from an apostatizing church. And not that we hold it up to the same level as our salvation, but I've been blessed by the decisions my parents have made and taught me about God and godliness. It's a good report, and I think it should draw our minds. I think it does draw our minds toward God, what he is, the faithfulness of our parents. Psalm 16:6 says, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea, I have a goodly heritage. And are we thinking about the heritage that we are leaving to our children, our generation today? What about the news that we listen to or read? There's much news that we can fill our minds with. Is it a good report? Many of the news I think we need to be careful with that there's not a lot of good report. There's a lot of bias, negative slant, that it can affect how we think and how we talk. Just throw a caution out there to be careful about what we listen to, what we read in the news. Gossip is not a good report. Proverbs 18:8 says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. That makes me think of indigestion, heartburn. I don't know if any of you have experienced that, but I have, and it is not pleasant. It's avoid the pain of gossip. A good report is good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. The word gospel means good news. That's what Jesus' message was, the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. It's what he preached to others and what we should as well. Mark 1, read some verses there. Mark 1:14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. It's good news. Jesus told us to seek the kingdom above all other things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. If we are looking for something of good report, we can't find any better news than the good news of the coming of the kingdom of God. Back in Philippians, the end of the verses there, it talks about after a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise. Just want to touch on that a little bit. Paul mentions virtue and praise here at the end of this verse, and I don't have a lot on these, but in many ways this is a summation of the list above. It's a summary. But virtue is moral goodness, integrity. I'm not sure why the if any is in there, but it's an interesting thought. If there be any virtue, is it maybe it's hard to find virtue in this world. We need to be diligent in looking for it, diligent in thinking about it. We're commanded to think on it. And then if there be any praise, anything that's praiseworthy, who is more praiseworthy than Jesus? We may give commendation, we may give encouragement, we may give recognition to another, but praise belongs to our God. I'd like to read Psalm 150. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. God deserves our praise, and we do well to meditate and ponder what he has done for us. In conclusion, now we know what to think upon. Are we going to do it? It's hard to break the negative patterns of our mind, but with Christ's power and help, we can do it. There's many testimonies of people that have been stuck in addictions and have come to Christ and have broken that. And the power that they experience, with Christ's power, we too can live in victory. We can live in newness of mind. A couple of thoughts that I came across, the power of thinking. If you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think angry thoughts, angry words are sure to follow. If you fill your mind with fantasies, your body will find a way to fulfill those desires. If you dwell on your problems, they will soon overwhelm you. If you feel like a victim, soon you will become one. If you give way to worry, don't be surprised when you get ulcers. If you think low thoughts, low living is soon to follow. If you expect defeat, you'll probably lose. If you dwell on rejection, you will set yourself up for even more rejection. If you focus on how others misunderstand you, you will soon become angry and bitter. But the flip side is also true. If you focus on truth, you will speak the truth. If you look on noble things, nobility will mark your life. If you seek out lovely things, your life will be lovely to others. If you dwell on that which is right, that which is wrong will have no attraction to you. If you think on pure things, you will become pure. If you look for virtue, you will find it. If you search for higher things, you will elevate your own life. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Our minds, what we think, has the power to affect our destiny. I trust you have been inspired by this study. It has been a challenge and encouragement to me, and I hope it has been to you as well. Let's kneel for prayer.